everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Tuesday night here on KCRW. And tonight it is the concluding half of our annual Christmas special. Yes, it is almost there. We're almost done with Christmas for another year, and but not soon enough. Not so soon that we don't have to slog through another half hour of it here. Actually, what we'll be listening to this half hour will not feel like slogging through, because there is some wonderful comedy coming up. We have Mo Moskowitz on tap, as usual, in any sort of holiday festivity. And we have a wonderful piece by Albert Brooks, and a classic piece with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. As I say every year, if you are the sort of person that might be offended by an irreverent presentation based on the birth of Jesus, then you might not want to listen to the next half hour, because this piece by Cook and Moore might possibly offend you. But otherwise, I think the rest of you will get a kick out of it, and we'll see what else there's time for. But let's begin, as usual, with Mo Moskowitz, a.k.a. Robert Kaplow.
The following segment is a winner of radio's coveted Peabody Award.
Mr. Peabody couldn't make it today, but I'd like to...
Thanks, Simon. Thanks so much.
Take two.
I have a singing telegram for Bob Edwards.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Bob. I'm Mr. Mo Moskowitz, and I'm here to ask the musical question.
That's actually as far as the lyric as I finished there, Bob, but I thought it might make a snappy intro.
You ever thought about analysis, Mo?
Oh, market analysis. Good morning, Bob. Yes, it's me, Mo Moskowitz, America's greatest salesman. Bob, I'm here today with 10,000 gift ideas from Mo's Ye Olde Authentic Craftsman Emporium, formerly the Big Man Shop. Yeah, I want you to look at our catalog.
When you care enough to spend the very most.
Oh, America's largest supplier of both new and previously owned presents. I got everything here, Bob, right in this closet. Books, records. Oh, the door is stuck a little. Whoa! Well, everything, Bob. Look. I got lots of stuff. I got more in the truck. Well, you know, everybody's buying that Barbara Streisand record, Bob. You know, the Broadway record. Everybody's talking Broadway. Well, I got a theater record here featuring America's favorite hardcore punk band, The Rivets. Hey, look at this.
You'll never walk again. The Rivets sing Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Listen.
This was a real nice clam bake.
Hi.
We're mighty glad we came.
Glad to.
The Beatles we ate were good. You bet. My boy said, I will see that he's named after Sid. Hey.
And listen to the B-side. I call it Flat Tire and Dead Battery on New Year's Eve.
God.
Sounds like that certainly captures the spirit of the holidays.
Oh, you ain't heard nothing yet. Listen to this. I wrote a song, Bob, just for you.
There's a guy who's on the radio. He's up at 3 a.m. driving through the snow. There's no anchor like Bob Edwards, oh no, no, no. Oh, Susan,
I'm Susan Stamper.
Not like Bob Edwards, oh.
There's no Adams.
Not like Bob Edwards, Simon.
I'll take it.
Not like Bob Edwards.
Now that's my kind of record.
Oh, I got something else you're gonna love. Now, you know, this year everybody's buying VCRs, right? They're selling 1 million a month. But how do you know the right one to buy? That's what everybody's asking. No problem when you got my pre-recorded video cassette, Guide to Buying a VCR. Everything you need to know.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't you need a VCR already to watch the tape?
Oh, well, I put the crummy ideas in the beginning of the catalog. I wanted to pad it out a little bit.
Well, haven't you got something that really captures the spirit of the holidays?
Oh, you mean something cheaper? Yeah, I got those things, too. Look at this ticket, Bob, here. Two tickets for my low-budget holiday vacation.
How was work today? We know an island. An island para paradise where you can forget all about work. Come to Long Island.
Paid for by the Long Island Travel Bureau.
Ah, wonderful. And you know the success of that movie, John and Yoko, A Love Story? Well, with my new compact disc, your voice is inserted into every Beatles recording. You become the fifth Beatle. Listen now to the world premiere of John, Paul, George, Ringo, and Bob.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you.
There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. Did Paul say soar?
Yeah, I came in on Rubber Soul. You know that early stuff?
No, I never saw them at all till there was you. That's my kind of record.
Oh, listen to him, Bob. It's a hit. Hey, you know me, I gotta run. Gotta get a flight out of the country. This is Mo Moskowitz and the Punsters.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
yeah, jingle bells. Wishing all my friends at NPR a happy holiday.
God bless us, everyone.
Mo Moskowitz and the Punsters are the creation of humorist Robert Keflow.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Daddy, why is there Christmas?
Well, honey, that's what this record is all about. What did you ask me, sweetheart?
About Christmas. What am I getting, Daddy?
What am I getting, Daddy? You know, honey, we're all guilty of saying that. But I didn't hear you asking what you were giving. And getting without giving, honey, is like eating without swallowing. It's disgusting.
I don't understand.
Yes, you do, sweetheart. Remember what I told you once about Santa?
Anita?
No, pumpkin. Santa Claus, sweetheart.
You said he knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're not sleeping. So for goodness sake.
Well, darling, your paraphrasing makes me chuckle. Sometimes I wonder if through sheer stupidity, children aren't just as smart as any grown-up. Anyway, lovey, Santa knows who's asleep and who's not. But he also knows something else. He knows the meaning of Christmas. And do you know what that is?
It's all about love and sharing love and giving.
That's beautiful, Dumpling.
How do you make love, Daddy?
Well, it's a complicated process, sugar, and it really has nothing to do with Christmas.
Does it have anything to do when you cover Mommy with...
No, honey.
Raisins?
Honey, you want that bicycle, don't you?
Yes.
All right, then let me ask you a question. What are you getting Daddy for Christmas?
Nothing. You hate presents.
Sweetie, have you taken leave of your little senses? Daddy loves presents.
Gave you a present last year. You didn't like it.
Well, honey, I didn't go crazy over it. It was a drawing of a zebra.
But I made it.
Well, you make noise too, sugar. So what? Look, I'm glad you brought this up now. Now listen, kitten. Would you like me to draw you a bike or give you a bike?
Give you. Give.
Give, all right?
Give.
Exactly, Cupcake.
Want a real zebra?
Do I want a... Honey, look. Daddy wants something real. Something that isn't made with your little paste and crayons. Between you and the rest of this adorable little family, Daddy has 9 closets full of arts and crafts. Here, sweetie, here's $20. Buy Daddy something for a change, okay? Go to a little store. Get Daddy something he can wear, something he can plug in, something he can at least return. Daddy hasn't gotten a real gift since he graduated from high school. Oh, isn't this adorable? Sweetheart, come here. Say one more thing for Daddy. Wish all these nice people listening a Merry Christmas.
No.
Uh-oh. Looks like Santa's gonna leave some little girl off his bicycle list.
Oh, no, he isn't. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Mr. Wyden.
I'll just lie down.
All right.
I don't know. I don't have anything much on my mind today. I had the same dream again.
The tunnel dream?
No, the dream where I'm the television repairman. And
oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Doctor, I wanted to mention that I won't be in on Friday because of Christmas Eve. I'll be spending it, you know, with my wife and kid, and I have to devote that day.
And you just miss your session?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to on Friday.
I wish you'd have let me know sooner. I could have filled your hour.
I'm sorry.
This is rather close notice.
Well, it's Monday. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I thought
Christmas
be able to...
Christmas Monday is rather close notice.
I am sorry, Doctor.
You think you can't take that 1 hour for your session? I think they're rather important, don't you?
Well, they are. They're very important to me. Heaven knows. I just,
Perhaps at least as important as your wife and children, seeing that these sessions, I think, have helped you a great deal in relating to them.
Well, yes. I wouldn't argue
Perhaps
with that,
you don't feel that.
No, I do. I do. No, look, please. Don't take that attitude. I just...
I'm taking no attitude. I'd like to examine this reluctance of yours to come in on Friday.
It's not a question of reluctance.
You feel I'm taking the time from your
No, I children? Assure you, Doctor.
Why?
Absolutely not. I just promised the kids I would spend
like
that
to,
day with
them. I'd like to know why you can't take 1 hour and come in for your session.
Doctor, look, please, Doctor, will you believe
me? No, I'm just interested in why, when we had a session planned on Friday, that you cannot take the time to come in and keep your appointment.
Doctor, please don't be upset.
I'm not upset. I really am not upset. I'm just, I'm curious for your sake.
If it means so much to you, I will come in.
It means, to me, it means only that you are my patient, that we facilitate a cure, but what it means to you is the thing that interests me.
Doctor, I just wanted to spend it with the kids. I promised the kids.
And you feel that an hour away from the kids for your analyst will be too much time?
I'll be back on Monday. You know that.
I'm sure that you will. I would like to discuss the Friday hour if we may. Care to try to associate to it?
Doctor, please, I feel terrible about this.
Why should you feel terrible? Please. Why should you feel terrible? You have made a decision. I would like to examine the decision. Certainly you should feel not feel terrible about a decision.
I feel I've hurt you.
You have not hurt me. I am only interested in your motivation. I am not hurt because I am going to analyze it.
Well, it's very simple. I'd rather be with my wife and children than with you on Friday.
Oh. I see. Well, then, I guess there's not much more to say, is there? Do you want to finish telling me about the television repairman dream?
Well, I don't think we should go on today. I think you're too upset. Oh, doctor, please. Doctor, I didn't mean it that way. Doctor, listen to me. Doctor.
I knew it. I knew you wouldn't come in Friday.
Doctor, the hour is up.
I don't care.
Dr. Weiss, I have to go, but I...
Go! Then why don't you go? Just go! Don't you tell me where you're gonna go! Just go! Get out!
Merry Christmas.
There, stop that, will you? Get off her. She's only a young one. Get off.
When the saints come marching in.
Hello.
Hello.
I believe you are Mr. Arthur Shepherd.
That's right. Shepherd by name, Shepherd by nature. Oh. Hello, my flock of lowing.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, that's rather good, that one. I never heard that one before.
That's a new one on me.
Yeah. That's a new one on her. Will you get off?
Let me introduce myself, Arthur. My name is Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
You may have heard of me and my colleagues, Mark, Luke and John.
I know you lot. You're celebrities. Let me shake you by the hand.
Certainly.
Could I touch your raiment?
By all means.
Thank you.
All right.
Best raiment I ever touched.
Yeah. Jolly good. Let me explain, Arthur. We are doing an in-depth profile of Jesus.
Oh, yeah?
You may know him as the Messiah.
No, I don't know.
What, you don't know him?
Yeah, I know him as Jesus.
Oh, fine.
Not that other thing.
Oh, I see, right.
Which newspaper do you work for?
I work for the Bethlehem Star.
Oh, yeah. The wife and I take the Star, actually.
Oh, jolly good.
Don't need much of your racing, tipster.
Oh?
I had 3 shekels on that camel in the 3:15 at Galilee. It's still bloody running, that one.
Well, Well, I don't work on that side of the paper myself. You know, I work on the more serious side, reportage.
Oh, reportage, yes. Very serious work.
Yes, indeed. And as I was saying, Arthur, we are doing this in-depth profile of Jesus,
yeah.
And I gather that you were actually in on the very first moment surrounding the birth of the Holy Child.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
That is marvellous.
Oh, good.
Now, what I'd like you to do, if you're willing, of course, is tell me what happened in your own words.
Well, it's quite simple, really.
Oh, marvellous.
Basically, what happened was that me and the lads were abiding in the fields.
Abiding in the fields.
Yeah. Mind you, personally, I can't abide these fields.
No.
I mean, look around you. They are unabidable fields.
Yeah.
I say these are the most unabidable bleeding fields I've ever had to abide in.
Yeah. I'll abide by that. you were abiding in the fields, Arthur.
Yeah, and we were watching our flocks by night.
Watching our flocks by night, yes.
Yeah, because that's when you have to watch them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's when they get up for all their rubbish.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hot summer nights, the rams go mad.
Yeah.
Especially that one over there. He's a filthy little bugger. Only cut that out. Doing that in front of you, a holy man.
Ah, well, it's only human.
I may be a bit old-fashioned, but I don't like to see one ram doing it to another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey, he's an enthusiast, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, top marks for enthusiasm, zero for accuracy.
It's a bit distracting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry about all those ramifications going on down there. I've got no control over them.
Ah, well, they're only young ones, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'll get my next lot from Gomorrah.
Oh. Arthur, you were abiding in the fields,
yeah.
And you were watching your flocks by night.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, much to our surprise, the angel of the Lord flew down.
That must have been a fantastic experience.
Well, it made a break, you know. Bit of a change just from abiding, him suddenly flashing down like that.
But how did you know it was the angel of the Lord?
Tell you what the giveaway was, Matthew. It was this ethereal glow he was emanating.
Ah.
He was emanating this ethereal glow.
Right.
And as soon as I saw him emanating, I said, hello, angel of the Lord.
Yeah. Halo?
Halo, certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
Halo and goodbye, we said afterwards. Because he wasn't there for long. He just delivered his little message and he was off like a bat out of hell.
Wings, I suppose.
Oh, wings. I have never seen such a gorgeous pair on a man.
Really?
They were outstanding wings. All gossamer, shimmering there in the starlight.
Oh, it must have been remarkable.
It was. I noticed it.
Yeah. What did he say to you, Arthur?
Well, he sort of singled me out from the other lowly shepherd folk, like.
How marvellous.
And he said, unto ye a child is born.
Yes.
Unto ye a son is given.
Yeah, what was your reaction?
Total shock. I mean, I wasn't even married at the time. And I thought, blimey, what was I doing this time last year, you know? Could it be that little bird I met down the Shepherd's Delight?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But the angel of the Lord... the angel of the Lord went on to explain that when he said ye, he didn't mean me personal-like. He meant ye in the sense of the whole world. Under the whole world a child is born. Under the whole world a son is given.
Yeah, he was using the universal ye.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know that because I'm not educated.
No, that's what he was using, though, the universal ye.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, lovely use of it, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he went on to say, you shall find the child lying in a manger, all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Oh, lovely language.
He was very effluent.
Yeah. I suppose your first reaction was to whip over there and have a peep.
Naturally, we all dashed down the stable. But when I arrived, I was in for a bit of a shock.
Go on.
I will. Because when he said, you shall find the child all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes, I thought to myself, fair enough, it'll be fairly meanly wrapped, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing flash, nothing gaudy.
Yeah, right.
But when I got there, it was diabolical. It's the meanest bit of wrapping I've ever seen. What's more, that kid was barely swaddled.
Good Lord.
I say, it's the worst job of wrapping and swaddling I've ever seen in my life. Terrible wrapping, atrocious swaddling.
Oh, how very distressing.
It was alarming to behold.
I'm sure it was, Arthur. Now, Arthur, I want you to think back in time.
I'll do it now, if you like.
No. What I meant was think back now to then.
That's what I meant. Think back to then, now.
Right. Now then. What was the atmosphere like in the stable on this joyous, historic occasion?
The atmosphere in the stable was very, very smelly.
Ah.
There were all these cows and goats and sheep and camel about.
Yeah, no.
And they had no sense of occasion.
No. That's a fascinating sidelight, but what I was really after was, what was the atmosphere like amongst the members of the Holy Family?
Oh, the personal atmosphere?
Yeah.
In one word, tense.
Tense, you surprised me.
Joseph in particular. He was sitting in the corner of the stable, looking very gloomy indeed.
He might have been feeling a bit disgruntled not being the real father.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
I think he felt left out of the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
And personally, I think this is why he'd done such a rotten job on the swaddling.
Yeah.
You know, he just couldn't be bothered to swaddle.
No, no.
And let's face it, there have been a lot of tittle-tattle about his wife and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, rumours have been flying round Bethlehem.
Yeah, right.
As indeed the Holy Ghost must have been.
Yeah. Was the Holy Ghost there?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
He's an elusive little bugger at the best of times, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I didn't see him, and I was very disappointed, because I felt very strongly at the time that he should have been there.
Mm.
You know, in his capacity as the Godfather.
Yeah. Well... especially after his treatment of the Virgin Mary, making her an offer she couldn't refuse.
Yeah. Make her an offer she didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I gather later on in the evening, three wise men came by. Am I right there?
Three wise men arrived, yeah.
Yeah?
Three bloody idiots ever I saw any.
Yeah.
In they come, call themselves Maggie.
Three blokes come in and call themselves Maggie?
Yeah. They peered round the stable door, said, hello, we're Maggie.
How very embarrassing.
We didn't know where to look.
No.
And they were bearing these gifts, you see.
Yeah.
Gold, frankincense and meh.
That's M-E-H, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
Very nice of them, you might know. Very nice of them to have brought those along, eh?
Well, I think the gold was probably welcome, but what's a little kid going to do with frankincense and meh, and ask you?
I suppose you're right, actually.
I mean, meh is that stuff what poofs put behind their ears, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Over-perfumed ointment muck.
Yeah, right.
Jesus! He was so polite about it, I'll never forget. He sat up in the manger. He adjusted his swaddling.
Mm.
He said, thank you, gentlemen, for these lovely prizzies. I hope you have a safe trip back. Merry Christmas.
I broke my bat on Johnny's head. Somebody snitched on me. I hit a frog in sister's bed. Somebody snitched on me. I spilled some ink on mommy's rug. I made Tommy eat a bug. Bought some gum with a penny slug. Somebody snitched on me. So I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad. I put a tack on teacher's chair. Somebody snitched on me. I tied a knot in Susie's hair. Me. I did a dance on mommy's plants. Climbed a tree and tore my pants. Filled a sugar bowl with ants. Somebody snitched on me. Oh.
Who's that coming down the chimney with a bag over his shoulder? It's him! It's him! I thought he wasn't coming!
Where's the silverware, little boy?
In the dining room, like I told you!
And the jewelry?
Same place as last time. How about my cut?
The usual?
the usual. Join me on a chorus, okay?
Why not?
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad.
Have a good season?
Excellent.
Well, we have slightly different closing music today due to the jollity of the season. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas and get everything you want, and I hope everybody likes what you got them and that it's all as low anxiety and as filled with laughs as possible. What we heard was Mo Moskowitz, Robert Kaplow, a wonderful piece by Albert Brooks, which was produced and co-written, I believe, by Harry Shearer, who will be my guest next week on this program. Mike Nichols and Elaine May with Merry Christmas, Doctor. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with The Gospel Truth from their Broadway review, Good Evening. And that last piece was Stan Freeberg. And what else did I tell you? Oh, Friday, tune in from 9 to noon when I will be the host of Boxing Day Becomes Eclectic. We'll be playing all sorts of things. It should be a lot of fun. And I think I've got nothing else to plug. A week from Friday, I'm filling in on Sound of the 60s. If you want to tune in, that might be nice. And that's really about all, other than to wish you all a wonderful Christmas. And hope you can join me next week for my show with Harry Shearer. So until then, don't forget to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh.